Guy makes sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here. Following the most gracious response to Abraham's request to purchase a burial site by the sons of Heth, to literally just simply giving him any plot of land he would so desire from any one of them free of charge. That was verses 5 and 6. Now in verses 7 through 9, we have Abraham's response. And here in this response, location is specified by Abraham in regards to the burial plot. So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. Wow, consecutive, followed with our verb to rise up, arose, calum perfect third masculine singular, cum, Q-U-M, Abraham, proper noun, bowed to the people of the land. You have the wow consecutive, followed with the hith pile, which is reflexive, imperfect third masculine singular, our verb, kawa, C-H-A-W-A-H, from Shekah. He himself bowed down. Obviously, the person himself must do the bowing, is the idea, reflexive. To the people, preposition lamed, followed with our noun for people, common masculine singular construct, am, A-M. The land, to the people of the land, definite article, followed with our common feminine singular, noun, absolute, word for land, eretz, E-R-E. T.S. To the sons of Heth. Literally, preposition lamed, repeated, are noun for sons, ben, B-E-N, as a common masculine plural construct, proper noun, Heth. Verse 8, and he spoke with them, saying, while consecutive, our verb speak, here's a P-L, imperfect third masculine singular, our verb debar, E-A, P-A-R, with them is a preposition eth, with the third masculine plural suffix, E-T-H. Saying is a preposition lamed, with the cal infinitive construct, amar, A-M-A-R. He spoke together with them, saying, literally, if it is your wish for me to bury my dead out of my sight. Yeah, the particle conjunction M, I am, if, followed with the adverb yesh, Y-E-S-H. If there is, then you have the preposition eth, E-T-H here, repeated, followed with the common feminine singular construct noun with the second masculine plural suffix, our word for soul, literally nephesh, N-E-P-H. E-S-H, recognizing their desire, their wish, hence translated your wish, your desire, your soulish desire, your choice is the idea. If there is with your soul, literally, with your choice, decision, to bury my dead out of my sight, preposition lamed, again with the used with a cal infinitive construct to bury, our verb debar, E-A-B-A-R. Sign of direct object, my dead one, substantive type of participle, cal masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix, muth, M-U-T-H. Out of my sight is a preposition men, followed with a preposition lamed. Then with the common masculine plural construct noun with the first common singular suffix, our word for face, paneh, P-A-N-E-H, from before my face, literally, out of my sight. hear me, and approach Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me. Here, listen to our Cal and Perf imperative, masculine plural, with the first common singular suffix, Shema. Hear me, S-H-A-M-A. Listen to me. And approach. You have the wow conjunction, followed with the Cal verb, imperative, masculine plural, our word, Paga, P-A-G-A. Literally, entreat or make intercession. Obviously, to approach him in such fashion. For me is the preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix. Here, the person in view is Ephron. You have the preposition bet, followed with a proper noun, Ephron, E-P-H-E-R-O-N. With Ephron, make intercession with Ephron. The son of Zohar, our noun for son, again, Ben, B-E-N, common masculine singular construct. Then Zohar is a proper noun, Tsokar, T-S-O-C-H-A-R. The reason for the entreaty or the intercession, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, verse 9, which is at the end of his field. That he may give, you have the wow conjunction, followed with the adjusive form of the Cal, imperfect third masculine singular verb, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, and let him give to me, preposition lama, with first common singular suffix, sign a direct object, the cave of. You have the common feminine singular construct, our word noun for cave is Me'ara, M-E-A-R-A-H, Me'ara. Here, Machpelah, you have the definite article, proper noun, Machpelah, Mechapelah, M-E-K-E-P-E-L-A-H. Which he owns is the relative pronoun asher, A-S-H-E-R, followed with the preposition lamed with the third masculine singular suffix, literally, which is for him or which he owns, belongs to him. Which is at, you have the relative pronoun asher repeated, followed with the preposition bet, at the end of his field. The end of is the common masculine singular construct noun katseh, Q-A-T-S-E-H. His field is a common masculine singular construct third masculine singular suffix noun sadeh, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. His field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site. Makes it very clear now his intentions is to purchase, outright purchase, property. You have the preposition bet, followed with the common masculine singular absolute noun, first in silver, literally, bet kesef, K-E-S-E-P-H. In silver, followed with your adjective, masculine singular absolute, or word full or complete, male. M-A-L-E. Let him give, literally. You have the Cal imperative, third masculine singular, adjusive, with the third feminine singular suffix. Again, our verb, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. The feminine, obviously, is the antecedent is cave there. To me, preposition lama, with the first common singular suffix. In your presence is a preposition bet, in, followed with the common masculine singular construct with the third, second masculine plural suffix noun, tawek, T-A-W-E-K, in the midst of, or presence of, in the presence of, for a burial site. You have the preposition lamed for, and then we have our word that we saw earlier, to denote possession of, acquisition, not in the translation, English translation, actually. Is a common feminine singular construct noun, accusa. A-C-H-U-Z-A-H. For possession of, literally, a burial site, a grave. A common masculine singular absolute noun, kaber. Q-E-B-E-R. All right. Rereading the three verses, 7 through 9. So Abraham rose in himself, and himself bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. Verse 8, and he spoke with them, saying, spoke together with them, saying, if there is in your soul, it is your desire, your wish, for me to bury my dead from before my face or out of my sight. Listen to me, hear me, and approach Ephron, intercede with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me. Verse 9. That he may, for the purpose that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field, for the full silver or full price, let him give it to me in your presence as a possession of, literally, a burial site. All right. Now, this is verses 7 through 9. Get started on it anyway. One, that Abraham rose here, kum in the Hebrew, the verb, suggests that the initial transaction took place while the principals were sitting. The meeting itself took place basically at the gate. A typical place for business men and leaders to congregate in a town or village, a setting of such. And initially, when he approached them, he came into their midst, and whatever cordial greetings were given were not said, but he sits down with them, and then in the course of any other conversation, this is when he springs on them his desire, his proposition for them to sell him this property. So that's initially the setting of them sitting as they are talking, and they respond to him, we'll give you from any one of us whatever piece of property you want to bury your dead in this respect. Now, he gets up. It's kind of an indication of one taking charge, if you will, of a situation in a business meeting, one who stands and speaks to make sure he has everyone's attention, see, in that sense. To now address him with the very focal point of what he is after here in regards to this burial site that he has initially requested to purchase. Now he shows the same type of common courtesy, if you will, that has been afforded him. To his bowing down then demonstrates first his inferior status among them as a resident alien. In spite of their revering address, they just called him a prince of God, a mighty prince of God. He gets up and he bows to them. Well, what is that action all about? They've already recognized him. You're a leader among us, both economically and spiritually. Yeah. It is part of if you will, his actions. It's something that you find in regards to a just believers of having the right type of approach in regards and discernment in regards to situations and people's otherwise. And in spite of the fact that they have, if you will, applied accolades on him in type, in this regard, this in no way influences Abraham to have his STA stimulated as being superior, if you will, in regards to their very presence. And then further, it is an action of one who really is simply a sojourner, is simply a nomad, living in their land, see, with their territory, their nation at that point in time. So it demonstrates a couple things. And that first one is that indeed he is an immigrant. And he shows true respect. It shows when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans, you respect them as Romans. And you go to a nation, you're expected to abide and follow the customs of that particular nation. See? If you want to have common courtesy in regards to them. And he does all this in spite of the fact that they have acknowledged him as being, if you will, an equal to them. Otherwise, as so implied in their address of him as the Prince of God. Further, three, it reflects the humility common with the positive just believer in light of human approbation. Abraham's not the kind of person that lets these types of things go to his head. See? You get that sometimes. As a pastor, I've run across it. You know, you're a pastor, and then all of a sudden, people just start acting different. You know, weird. Sometimes, and you know, well, and then they want to try to, oh, reverend this or whatever. You know, and throw these spiritual accolades, which obviously you can see why, because so many spiritual, so-called spiritual leaders, tend to exemplify this type of persona in regards to a preacher or a pastor or whatever, to expect this type of accolade and approbation from others around them. Oh, you're a preacher. You're a man of God. Well, if you're a believer, so are you. Now, what are you coming at me for? You know. And here we see Abraham. He's not this kind of person. He's just a regular individual. That was positive Bible doctrine, and God targeted him. And guess what? You're in the line of Christ. You're beginning to use grace. And this is God's plan for his life. See? And with all humility in his dealing with others. And I'm telling you, coming out of the business world before I got my church, I recognized that principle a long time ago. I got farther with people in regards to associations and respect from others that I did business dealings with by being more the laid-back, quiet type than the more boisterous or the ones that always like to throw out all their qualifications and everything else, you know, in boasting ways in regards to things about their person to gain other people's approbation and attention. Just be humble. A good listener. A good listener learns a lot of things. And they'll be the type of person, a good listener is the type of person that other people generally will have a tendency to open up to, too, when the time is necessary. So, you know, there's a place to speak, and there's a place to be quiet. There's a time for people to recognize one's achievements and things in life, but otherwise you don't let these things go to your head. You remain humble before God. You recognize you're only here and you're only recognized as such because of God, because of Bible doctrine in one's life. And here he's an immigrant on top of it all, and even though they recognize him and accept him essentially as the highest of their own, he maintains true humility. He definitely would not have fit in the professional wrestling world today. You don't see that in Abraham. See. For it further denotes his appreciation of their generous offer. So the bow, one bow, this movement, this action, how much it can communicate in regards to the situation at hand. See. Yeah, I'm an immigrant. Thank you for letting me live here. I remain humble in spite of your accolades. And I appreciate your offer. Pretty cool. So five, now the phrase, to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, Lamed Am Haaretz, Lamed Ben Keth, end quote, recognizes their legal claim to the real estate offered to Abraham for use. They weren't offering him something that belonged to somebody else. And to each man, it's each person's decision to give up whatever plot of land that Abraham so desired in this regard, and they were legitimate occupiers and residents and owners of this property. So the people of the land is their territory, their nation. The sons of Heth, the particular identification of the citizens that resided there. And it recognizes their legal claim to this particular parcel of Canaan that they occupied at this point in time in their life. Six, he was on Hittite property, Abraham was, and does not assume any claim beyond their offer, even though God has promised it for him and his heirs. In spite of the promise otherwise, Abraham doesn't presuppose he has any right until God is willing and ready to give it to him to acquire and maintain possession. In other words, seven, he was not a believer that tried using doctrine to advance or prosper himself monetarily. It is not as the many who love to merchandise the Word of God. And I'm telling you, Christians have come up with hundreds of ways to merchandise the Word of God. Every trick in the trade, they emulate the cosmos. They just put the Christian name on it and banner on it to try to do it. I recognize a proper place of recognizing where believers may have a business, et cetera, and have a desire to maybe do business with one or another. But on the other end of the coin, I also recognize when believers abuse that situation, use it to try to commercialize their business or whatever other agenda they may have in that respect. God promised him the land. He has power. He has military. Yeah. Just go in and take it if you want. He probably could. But that's not the way he acts. He recognizes where everything is at in regards to God's plan at the present time for him in his life. And he doesn't try to utilize doctrine otherwise to advantage himself in this respect. Eight, it further suggests that the meeting with these men was sizable in number, making it difficult for one to pick out all the individual faces. The phrase, again, to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, that conjures up quite a congregate of individuals that are sitting out here at the gate initially, in which Abraham approaches in this fashion. So, nine, this would answer why he didn't see Ephron among them to make his request personally. I'm looking ahead here in these points to the fact that he asked for them to intercede with Ephron on his behalf. But Ephron's there. Why didn't he just, well, I'd like to speak to Ephron personally in regards to this. Now, Abraham has some real discernment in regards to his dealings with these people, that he keeps everything above board all the way across in regards to this scenario. All right, well, we will continue on with this Tuesday. This is our time to observe the Lord's table. So we'll call class quits here and let everybody get in their proper positions.